So how do you see the tool being used in the practical sense then? Yeah. Say you've got those three values and you take a particular application or technology and you measure it against those, then what? What does that lead you to do?
Well, I think in educational terms, which is where I'm coming from, I'd be interested to know particularly whether the mode of communication that's being used has truthfulness associated with it, and all of those issues around whether it's an authoritative voice. I mean, certainly within distance learning materials and within the preparation of distance materials, one is always concerned to have an authoritative voice, even if the purpose of that authoritative voice is to share and delegate some of that learning experience with whoever won, the cohort. So I suppose one of the issues was, how do you know whether MSN, is MSN a good tool to use in learning as opposed to Skype, as opposed to VoiceThread, as opposed to DimDim? It's like, if you were trying to work out where the relative merits of a particular technology were, it would be nice to try and work out what those merits were based less on their technical functionality than on their degree of acceptability. How acceptable will they be for that particular cohort?
See, that's one of the things I'm a little unclear about is that last sentence is based on their degree of. At one point you said based on their degree of effectiveness. It's a kind of efficacious argument. Is it a more effective technology than, say, this one for delivering X, Y, and Z? But at one point you also mentioned, is it more authoritative? And that seems to take us back to this whole argument about truth. And is it a tool, in a sense, for measuring whatever truth? And we can get into a discussion on that in a moment. But, because I think that's a slightly different thing. If it's a way of trying to give credibility to authority, because in many of these contexts today, it's very difficult to know what is true.
Yeah.
Although the whole idea of truth is a complex one. And it could be a framework for that, to give you some relatively stable values.
I think you, because of what you're reading and because of where you're coming from, you're looking at the framework very much around its veracity dimension.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And I guess I'm interested, coming from my background, I'm interested probably more in the values dimension.
Yeah.
And the virtuality, in a sense, is almost a kind of a structural thing. It's helping define the difference between a technology, which is essentially an emerging, increasingly Web 2 type technology, versus face-to-face contact. So you could include the whiteboard and a pen and a present person in this framework, and that would equate to the most real, least virtual, if you like, experience for an individual, and be therefore probably seen as the most trustworthy and therefore the least disruptive. So that's kind of one class. In educational terms, you'd say the person in the classroom is all of those things. Now, I appreciate that very quickly educators will say, well, that person's not doing a very good job if they're not disrupting people's expectations. And certainly, in terms of adult learning, you'd expect them to be consciously disrupting people's expectations in order, all the things we talked about in terms of transformative learning. But nonetheless, at a very simple level, what I'm saying is that that becomes one bottom extreme of this cuboid model when you plot these three dimensions. You need that in order to then be able to assess what else you might be talking about. So yes, it could be used to do exactly what you're describing. And I think you could say, well, we can actually use one dimension. We could actually create an instrument which would collate people's responses to the veracity question and do that, just do that. I mean, you ask how it might be used. I suppose in an ideal world, the way it would be used would be somebody in one institution would want to explore a cohort's attitudes to virtuality, and another would, in another institution, in another part of the world even, might want to explore a cohort's reaction to veracity, and somebody else might run an instrument to explore value disruptions with technology. And that in theory, you could start to bring all of that data together, even though they're potentially different cohorts. If you could find some equivalence in terms of socio-cultural context, you'd be able to say, well, actually, we've got a big enough data set to then plot that into a three-dimensional model. You know, this is what people feel about this particular technology in the context of virtuality, inveracity, and in terms of value disruption. So I can see a situation where you would only use one dimension of the model in order to explore technology.
Do you see it as a practical tool or to do those things you just mentioned? Or is it more essentially a theoretical, conceptual tool to help people think about it? Because
That's a good question.
Me a bit. Yeah, is it designed for end users out there at the chalk base?
No, it's a very good question. I would like to think that there is someone brighter than me who would look at the model and say, I can see how that's a practical model. I'm struggling to find a way of conceiving of it in a very practical way. I didn't originally. I saw it as a theoretical model.
Yeah.
But having said that, we then ran that workshop at Aslite and we did a little practical test to populate the model. And I thought, well, actually the model lends itself very easily to data collection. You know, you could easily sit down and design. And the example of the Gluckhorn and Schubert sort of value orientation model, if you wanted to spend time and effort collating that information for a given cohort, you would be able to feed in questions about specific technologies, perhaps, to in a modified version of that tool, and populate the values dimension. So one particular group, I guess what was underlying it to some extent, originally, coming back to the original question you asked me, you could almost argue that there is a tendency in the social sciences for people to become a little bit narrow within their particular social science. And we are moving increasingly towards more and more interdisciplinary work. And I think what this model, in a sense, is trying to do, or maybe suggesting, is that here is a model which, you know, you can come from a range of different social science backgrounds with a range of different interests and use the same model or different dimensions of the model to help you understand the other dimensions. So if you're a computer scientist and you're interested in questions of virtuality, this might help you get your head around ideas around veracity and values. If you're a social anthropologist and you're interested in technology and social change, you might come and look at ways in which you might look at value disruption. But in the process, it will seed ideas and make you think about. So I suppose I'm hoping other people will find practical uses for what is essentially a theoretical model.
One of its strengths, I think, is that interdisciplinary nature. It's not rooted in a particular discipline, so it should be possible to embrace it from a range of disciplines. But that would be interesting.